This last year has been a pretty rough year for me. Been through a lot. But one thing about me is I really, really appreciate my family, and I love them a lot, trust them a lot, and they're kind of what makes me tick. So go back a year from now, February, and it all kind of started kind of going downhill. Started a Saturday night of friendship tournament. My sister and I kind of hit a wall. She had gotten into some things back in high school, and I figured out about it because one night there was something on the floor, and walking down the hallway, I found it, and it was a cigarette, and I was ticked. So I was like, "Summer, what is this?" And she told me, and instantly we became best friends because I could tell Mom and Dad. I could rat her out to Mom and Dad, so we were tight. And through all this, I mean, we were close. And then she was in high school at this point, and she came out of this, and she came out of it and moved to Walla Walla, and then turns out she gets back into it. And this time around, I wasn't on her side. I was on Peter's side, the ex-boyfriend. I was on my dad's side. I wasn't her friend anymore. So this made me the bad guy. So all of a sudden, this relationship of mine is gone. Gone. Fast forward a little bit to the summer. Playing basketball a lot, hanging out with family friend Rob Schmidt, Peter, and my dad. We would play basketball all the time. I was working, and my mom wanted to see me, and I wanted to see her. But because I was working and I had a summer camp job, I couldn't get time off, so I couldn't go down to see her. So I asked her to come up to see me, and this would just increase the tension between her and I. Yes, she said I could come here, but she didn't love the fact. So I remember one phone call vividly. I was at my house, my dad's house, and she told me, she said, "You are not successful." And this kind of threw me for a loop, and I asked, I was like, "Mom, I get good grades. I'm playing varsity sports, I'm an RA, I'm involved." And she told me, "People define success differently." This shook my world, as all of a sudden, I lost support of my mom just like that. I mean, yeah, there was tension, but all of a sudden, she's gone. And then there was that night, I went back to Rob's house, and I was with my dad, and he asked me how I was doing, and I said, "Good," and I said, "No, that's a lie, he's not doing too good." So I went down to my room, and as I was laying in my bed, kind of turning over, just figuring out, what am I going to do? He told me, he said, "You are a rock star." And this is a man that I love and I adore. And this is his hat that he would always wear right back here. I hope you guys can see it at some point. But this guy, he was a ton of fun. He was everybody's friend. He was perseverant. He was the man. I remember one story. It was just 4th of July weekend, and a friend and I, decided to do something a little crazy, and we worked out the math of it, and we said the limit was 60 feet. If the bridge was taller than 60 feet, we were not going to jump off it. It was in the water, and there was 60 feet of water to jump into. And so we climb up there, and as we make the decision to go, 38-year-old bald Rob decides to go with us. And climbs up there, and we do it twice, and think Rob just kind of got a little sore shoulder. I was fine. My friend, we're thankful he's still around, but he's in this room tonight. So it was an awesome time. He lived to the max. And along with this, he was a great basketball player. He would beat the 26-year-old Peter day in and day out on that concrete court outside the house. So he was just an awesome guy. And yes, he had mistakes, but he lived with them. And he was teaching me how you can just, you know, you can get by these things and you can do better and you can be your best. And November 30th came around and I got a knock on my door from Pastor Fred and Sule. And yes, I was confused because since when was Pastor Fred and Sule ever in the dorm together the same time? I wish it was for better circumstance, but they knocked on my door and told me Rob had committed suicide. And he was gone, just like that, overnight. I spent 2 days out of school, went down, went to his funeral, and I wish that on no one. More than 2 days for someone you love that much. It was rough. And so ripped away from me was one of the people that I loved. Go a little bit farther, just this past week, my dad had a nice heart attack. Sent us all for a little loop. I remember 9:18 walking into Origins class with Mrs. Hager. She wasn't there yet, so I answered the call, and it was Peter. And I said, "What's up?" And he said, "Well, I got some not so good news." I said, "They think your dad has had a heart attack." And I was like, I'm walking out of class, and the first person I saw was Pastor Fred, and I wasn't doing too hot. I was kind of stressing a little bit. And I said, "They think my dad's had a heart attack." So I spent the next half an hour trying to get off campus, getting a car, whatnot. Spent the next 2.5 hours wondering, how can this be a heart attack? My dad is young, relatively. Being 48, heart attack's not supposed to happen. He was active, playing basketball 2 or 3 times a week. And he wasn't at risk for a heart attack. So I spent the 2.5 hours thinking, there's got to be something they're not telling me. There's something that's not going on here. Ended up got down there, and it was just a heart attack. The pillow back here is after they split the sternum. Kind of use that as the helping thing. But there was some good that came out of this little heart attack. Being that my dad, I'd always want to fill his shoes. Size 12, he's 6'2", I want to be 6'3". I always want to be a basketball player like he is, be just as smart as he is. And so one thing they had to do for the surgery to keep him safe is they had to shave him from his ears to his ankles. So this meant one thing, that now Seth had more chest hair than his dad. Welcome to manhood. So we had a good time in the hospital after that. I mean, it was pretty funny with the nurses, the four of us, kind of family, being smart to the nurses. They didn't appreciate it sometimes, didn't know how to deal with it, but it was good. But at the same standpoint, you guys saw the PowerPoint I put together, and I looked back this last week, and I thought to myself, at 12:30 at night, rather than putting together a slideshow, I could have been planning a funeral for my dad. It was called the Widowmaker. I don't know if I'd mentioned this, but most people don't walk away from that. So now, here I am in this valley of lows, as I realize all of these supports have been torn away from me. And I'm in this valley, and I realize one thing. Multiple things, but the first and foremost being that Satan knows how to attack Seth White better than anyone else, anybody. He knows that I respect my family, and I see my God and my friends and my family that I love. And he knows this, so what does he do? He attacks them. He pulls them away. He rips them from me. He destroys relationships. He makes it difficult. So in this, trying to deal with it, I found a text. 1 Timothy 1:14, and it says, "Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Christ Jesus." And here I am in this valley, and I discover that I need a new depth. I need a new dimension to my relationship with God. I need to learn to trust in Him. And so I'm starting. It's right now. That was a week ago. I mean, there's lots to learn. Every day, it's something harder, something new. It's not always the easiest. But I've made a decision, and I'm looking. I'm looking for the glory of God. I've decided to turn my back on all of that other junk. To look for the glory of God. And as I do this, I'm learning about His love, His mercy, His grace. I'm also learning about my new faith. And guys, it's not because of me. It's because of our Lord Christ, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.